to get families into the class. And so a lot of the singles thought it wasn't for them in the class. So I need to rephrase that. Lord will use it to get families, young families in there, and to get singles into that class. That way there's no confusion there. But Lord willing, we'll be able to. We had tables in there this morning, and we were, 75-80% full with tables. And I told them that if we continue to keep using tables, it means we're not growing the class. And eventually we'll need to get rid of the tables and just have chairs. And that's a good problem to have. And so pray that the Lord will use that class to get people in church and give them a home. And we'll be able to invite them to that class. And the Lord will use it in a great way. Right now, Brother Chad and Mrs. Rachel are out there. They're going to use it with the fifth and sixth graders. And it was pretty funny yesterday watching all of the boys and girls that are in that age group as the cleaning and the decorating, everything's going on, them just kind of walking through their class, like, this is going to be it, this is where it's at. And a few of them said, our class is better than your class to me, and I'm like, I'm sure if I was your age, I would say the same thing, because our class does not look fun, to compare to your class. I'm seeing Mountain Dew going to that class and candy going to that class, and yeah, that doesn't fit in our class. Everyone's on diets and different things, and and need coffee to stay alive. And so 1 Samuel chapter number 17. And let's all stand together if you're able to. And let's go to verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Verse number 1 says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochah and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Let's skip down to verse number 32. It says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Let's pray there. Father, Lord, I think we can learn something from this well-known passage of Scripture and the story here in the Bible, Lord. Very few have probably not heard of this story, but I pray we can pull some things out from this and David's life here in this short time of his life, Lord, that I think can help each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You've most likely heard the story of David and Goliath. It's a very well-known story taught to children all over the world. And David, you don't know the exact age of David, but he was roughly around 13 years old, 12 years old, right in there, a young man. And his brothers were there in battle. They were the military boys, and older, stronger, buffer, worked out. They knew how to be in war, had been through the training. And David was just a shepherd boy. And what seems like kind of an outcast from the family. If you had you think of your children and you sent one of them to go live out in the pasture with the sheep, it wouldn't show that you loved your child very much. And that was David. And David was kind of just out there with the sheep, taking care of them as a shepherd. But God was training David out there. God had a purpose for him being out there that David probably didn't know, most likely did not know what the purpose of that was. But David shows up to bring his brothers some food and gets to the battle. And he hears this Goliath, this giant of a man, Goliath, mocking the God that he serves, the God that he's been taught all along growing up, the powerful God. And he knows we're on the winning side, and who his mom and his dad and his brothers all talked about his whole entire life. And he gets there, and this giant, the biggest man he's ever seen in his entire life, is on the other side against with the enemy, mocking his God and making fun of them and putting fear into his people. And most 13-year-olds would be scared to death if they saw a giant like that, biggest man ever in their life. They would just tremble. David shows up like an arrogant young man with determination. And he's upset at his brothers. He's upset at all these guys who are just standing around letting somebody mock and curse our God. And David stands up and he's just like, what is going on? Why is this happening? And he's upset at everybody. And you can tell, if you're an older sibling, older siblings just, this is the motion, right? Stop, okay? You're embarrassing me. I can imagine his big, burly, strong brothers, military brothers, have their little peon of a brother, you know, who's all he's ever done is take care of sheep. And sheep, man, they're so scary, right? And this little brother of theirs shows up to battle talking like this, and they're embarrassed. But that's what David did. And David, you know the story, David just goes to the king and says, I want to fight him. And you can just, you know, they're holding him back. Like, no, you can't do this. Yes, I can. I serve the great God. He can't talk about my God like that. And they're holding him back. And they finally get to the point where they can't hold him back anymore. And they're like, okay, well, we're going to put every bit of, you know, metal that we can on you, every bit of protection and armor that we can upon you to try to protect you. And it's just basically like suicide mission, right? In their eyes, this is suicide. Like the boys, his brothers, I imagine, are like, well, we've not always liked him, but Dad's not going to be happy about this. How are we going to tell him that we let him go to battle and he got murdered brutally by this giant of a man? And I can imagine the conversation that were going on during that time amongst everybody. Like, this is going to be some good entertainment here. Like, wow, this is going to, like, what? Who is this kid, you know? And I imagine the other side, the Philistines, were watching, saying the same thing. Like, this is unbelievable. But God did something great with David that has been, had a story that has stood through the time, through hundreds and hundreds of years, that is now taught to children and taught to adults all over the world. And David conquered a giant that day. The biggest physically, the biggest giant that lived at that time. As Christians, we face giants as well in our lives that are daunting, that are hard to get past, that are challenging, that cause us to want to quit. I want to ask you this morning, what are the giants that you're facing? Is it unemployment? Is it debt, disease, or depression, or danger, abandonment, abuse, tragedy, bills, weaknesses, rejection, broken relationships, inability, addiction, habits, temptations, discrimination, fear, past failures, discouragement, or anger? You know what it is that you struggle with. You know what the giant is that's in your life right now that seems impossible to conquer, that doesn't look like something that you can do. And you can't do it on your own. You need God's help, but you're constantly hearing those giants shout at you. You're not qualified for that job, or you're not good enough. You can't refuse pornography. You can't stop that forbidden relationship. You can't shake off those past failures or those embarrassments. You don't have a bright future. You're a failure as a human being. Your life is a mistake. We hear those things all the time, and they're discouraging. And if we're not careful, we will kind of cave up and not move forward. We will do what those what David's brothers did in battle, and they did nothing for the Lord.
Right.
They served a God who could conquer anything for them, could conquer that giant. God created that giant. He can get rid of that giant if he wanted to. But you see, all of those people were blinded to it. All of those people had fear set in. And they let that giant cause them to not move forward for the Lord. They caused that giant to let them retreat. And it took a young boy, teenage boy, to show up and remind them of the God that they serve, remind them of the power that he had. And he had to literally go out there and sacrifice his own life to prove to them how powerful God is and to rally the troops, you could say. David was used in a mighty way. You can hear your giant saying, your marriage can't last. You can't talk to people out soul winning. David taught us how to face our own giants. Now you're ready to say goodbye to a defeat in your life and start a victorious life. That day, David showed those people how to defeat a giant. And if you watch, the entire nation, the whole military, charged and followed a young teenage boy off of one decision. And that decision was, I'm going to conquer fear. That decision is, I'm not going to let this make me quit. You are facing a giant possibly right now. You know what it is. It comes to your mind right now. You know what it is that you're struggling with that's holding you back as a Christian. You're coming to church faithfully. You're doing what needs to be done to just check the boxes. But you're not moving forward as a Christian because of the battles that you're facing, the giants that you're facing in your life. I think we can look at David's life here this morning and find some things to help you, help me, know how to conquer giants in our life. This morning, I want to preach to you the source of power that will conquer your giants. The source of power that will conquer your giants. Number one, plug in to the source of power. Plug in to the source of power. Go to verse number 37. It says, "And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with you." You notice David said, "The Lord that delivered me." He didn't say me. He didn't say they or him or her or she. He said, "The Lord that delivered me." He gave God all the credit, and he knew that with God, he could get it done. How many of you have a refrigerator at your house? Raise your hand. Have a refrigerator, okay? Now, there's one thing that makes a good refrigerator, is whether or not it plugs in or not, if it works. A bad refrigerator is one that doesn't work when you plug it in, or one that is not plugged in. You could have a nice shiny refrigerator at your house, but if it's not plugged in, it's of no use.
Right.
It can't do anything except be a decoration in the house and just look nice and be shiny and clean. But until you plug it in, it's not useful. Your phone can be very useful if you plug it in and if you charge it. As a Christian, you are of no use unless you're plugged into the right source of power. We have a lot of power. We have more power than this earth can possibly create. All the windmills and all the solar they want to put out there, it cannot create more power than what God can create.
Amen.
And we have that available to us. You have that available to you personally if you plug into it. You see, when you're not faithful to God, when you're not faithful to his word, we don't open up this Bible and we don't read it. We don't have a relationship with the Lord. We don't pray to him ever. It's time to eat, so we pray. And our Christian life is so basic and so simple, we're not even plugging into the power. We're not even using the power that God created, that God's saying, "It's available to you. I'm giving it to you on a platter. Here, you can use it." And we are like those Israelites that stood in the sidelines and we're scared. We're afraid to use it. We're afraid to move forward because we're afraid that when we move forward in the Christian life, we've got to give up some things. We've got to cut out the things that we're wanting to hold on to that we know the Lord doesn't want us to have. We're afraid if we fully plug in all the way that we've got to do some things that are uncomfortable. That's a good place to be. Because when we get in those situations, we're fully dependent upon God, and that's where God decides, now I can use you. Now I can do something with you. Now I can help you conquer that giant that you're facing in your life. God's people in the Bible had been empowered by God through the outpouring of his anointing power. Number two, choose the right weapons. Choose the right weapons. If you go to verse number 38, it says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor and his assayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." You can imagine, you can picture it in your mind. They put all this armor, heavy stuff on this small, scrawny teenage boy, and he could hardly even move. He could hardly even stand up and do anything with it. Sure, he was protected, but you talk about trying to do something himself. He couldn't do anything himself. He could just stand there. And David's like, "I can't use this. What is this? This is going to help me? I'm going to go fight that man. I don't want to just sit here and protect myself. I want to get this stuff off of me." And he goes to the brook and he finds 5 smooth stones. I don't know why he chose 5 stones when he only used 1. But I believe that he maybe had a purpose. I believe, I'm going to give a kind of a reason for each one of them that I believe can be a reason why he might have chosen 5 smooth stones. Number one, I believe the stone of the past. He reminded himself of what God did when he was younger. Remember it previously, before we get to this part of the scripture, the Bible says that God or that God, he was used, God delivered him out of the paw of the lion and out of the bear. Remember that? How many of you have killed with your bare hands a lion and a bear? All right. Much less a gun. David did that with God's help to protect those sheep. God bestowed his power upon David to do that. Nobody even knew about it. No one knew that David had done that. But David did. And David in that moment is facing another mountain of a man. Imagine the confidence that you would have as a human being if you had the ability to take down a lion with your bare hands or with a shepherd's staff and a lion and a bear. You think your confidence would raise up a little bit? My confidence, okay, I can take on any human now. Any human, I don't care how big you are, I don't mean how many dumbbells you've lifted, I don't care how much you've worked out. If I can conquer a lion and a bear, you're toast, man. I'm sorry, but you ain't stand a chance. So you can imagine the confidence that David had because of what he did previously, because what God helped him do previously that nobody knew, and nobody understood the confidence that he had. But he had it because God gave it to him with something of the past. You see, God's helped you conquer things in your past. God's helped you conquer giants in your past. If you're not careful, you'll forget about that. And you'll forget about what he did in the past. And because of your forgetfulness of what he did in the past, you can't conquer the giants in the future because you don't have the confidence. You don't have the remembrance of what God did. We've got to remind ourselves constantly of what God has done for us in the past. We should remind ourselves of the blessings that God has done for us through the hard times. We should remind ourselves of the mountains and the giants that God's helped us conquer. Because when we remind ourselves of those things, we remember how powerful of a God we have. If we forget that, then all of a sudden fear sets in. And when fear sets in, it's hard to get rid of fear. But when you have a mindset of determination, and you have a mindset of reminding yourself of what God's done, doesn't matter what faces you in your future. Doesn't matter what comes in the way. You know, because I got through that, God can help me get through this. Sometimes God gives us small things in the past and he builds upon those and builds upon those. And we realize we gain confidence over time. And God will give us things and realize, man, I got through that. If I can get through that, God can help me get through this. And then you get through that and you have more confidence and you get more confidence and you get more confidence. But that only happens if you remember the past. I believe the first one can be an example of the stone of the past. How about the stone of prayer? Go to chapter 30 if you want. You can go to chapter 30 if you want. Verse number 6 says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." You see, sometimes you may not be getting the encouragement that you really think you need by other Christians. Sometimes people don't understand what you're going through, and you expect them to understand. Or sometimes we just expect everybody to know, I told them to pray about this, but nobody understands the giant you're facing or the trial that you're facing or the mountain that you're facing better than you do. Or someone else who's gone through it can understand it. But sometimes we put this expectation and we get discouraged. And you see, David was in that place where no one was encouraging him. And the Bible says that he went to the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. There will be times, you've probably already faced them in your life, where you're not getting the encouragement like you hoped or you wish that you had from family or friends and those that are around you. And it's not because those are bad people. It's just they're not thinking what you think they should think. And they're not giving the encouragement. And you need to run to the Lord. You need to do what David did and encourage yourself in the Lord. Get on your knees. Find a place in your house, a prayer closet, or somewhere in your life where you are having a constant relationship with the Lord, where you can go and encourage yourself like David did in the Lord. Psalms, David talks about, "But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble." Isaiah says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You see, you can remind yourself of the past when you get on your knees, because you can thank God for those things. Amen. You can thank God for what he did in the past. And when you start to remind yourself of those things and you get on your knees in prayer and you're thanking God, then you can start asking him for encouragement and helping you get through this tough time, through this mountain in your life, this giant. You can be encouraged if you get on your knees. I believe also not just the stone of the past or prayer, but how about the stone of priority? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 46, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from it." This is a 13, roughly old boy talking to this giant of a man. "And take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Man, I mean, picture yourself or picture one of our teenage boys standing up to the biggest, strongest man in the world right now. That is amazing. It's incredible. The amount of determination that this young man had. But he had a priority, and that was to get rid of the enemy. That was his priority, to get rid of that giant. If you're not careful, your priority will become to backtrack in your life. You face a giant, you become scared, you become things are falling apart in your life, your finances are going the wrong way, your relationships are going the wrong way, and you get so scared that you're backtracking upon everything. And your priority is off. Your priority is not on the giant. You see, God wants you to face the priority, but God, or face the giant, and that to be your priority. And God wants your priority to be on him to help you conquer that giant in your life. Remember, your highest priority is God's reputation. Amen. God's reputation. You see, through this whole story of David, God used a 13-year-old boy. Nobody looked at David and thought he could do that. Nobody bet on David. Nobody was like, you know what, I'm betting on him to win. I'm going to make some money on this. Nobody did. Nobody thought he was going to win. His brothers were already writing the letter to dad saying, "We're sorry, but today David passed away. David did something very foolish." And they were already writing his death. You would be doing the same thing. But you see, that's what God loves to do, is because you look at that story and you say, that could only have happened if it was God was involved. There's no other way. David couldn't have done it on his own. He didn't do it on his own. And so what happened? The troops rallied around David knowing he had the power of who? Talk to me. He had the power of who? He had the power of God in his life. God's reputation is on the line with your life. With the giants that you're facing, God's reputation is on the line. You've got friends, you've got family members, you've got neighbors who are watching you. They'll watch you go through a tough time in your life, and they're going to watch to see how you handle that. And when they can see God's power in your life, God's reputation is going to help them. It's going to encourage them. It's going to help them get in church if they're not in church. It's going to help them do right in their life. It can help in so many ways with how you handle your giant. I believe the stone of priority is something that he had, a reason why he could have grabbed another stone. Your cancer is God's chance to show his healing power. Your sickness is God's chance to show his healing power. Your sin is God's opportunity to showcase his grace. Your struggling marriage can billboard God's power. You see, everything that you're struggling with, when God you allow God to help you get through that, it shows others the power of God. And it helps you realize the power of God as well. How about the stone of passion? I think David had a little bit of passion. Verse 32 says, "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" Verse 48 says, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." You would have thought David would have all this confidence seeing the guy from a distance, you know. "Oh, yeah, I can do that." But when he got up close, "Oh, my goodness, I'm turning around going this way." But he didn't. The Bible says he ran toward the giant. He ran toward the enemy. He was passionate about it. He spoke to his giant and said, "I'm taking you down today. I'm not only going to kill you today, but I'm cutting your head off today." I mean, he just did everything. It was for the guys. "Yeah, let's go. This is awesome." You know, the lady's like, "Oh, hold down. Let's be a little nice to each other here, you know." But David, man, he just had so much passion about what he was doing. He was passionate about it. How about the stone of persistence? Why did David pick up five stones? Perhaps because Goliath had other brothers, other giants. You're not going to just face one giant in your life. You're going to face more. You see, David probably realized, if I kill the brother, they're going to come after me. They're going to try to come find me, because family matters. Blood runs thick. They're going to come fight me. I need some more stones. God, you're still there, right? Okay, good. Because if we take down this one, we got more coming. We got more battles facing us later on. David was ready. The stone of persistence. We've got to plug into the source, the source of power. We've got to choose the right weapons. Number three today, keep your eyes on focus. Keep your eyes on focus. Verse 47, I'm almost done here, says, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Don't be disturbed by your giant this morning. Don't be disturbed by it. Keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on conquering that giant. Go to verse 26. It says, "And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Verse 32. "And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Verse 45. "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." This is one of my favorite lines in the whole Bible. "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." Don't be discouraged by the distractors. Don't be discouraged by the enemy. Don't be discouraged by the giants that are facing your life. Man, have the boldness, have the confidence, and stay focused. Come to church, those of you that are involved in ministries, when you're facing a battle or facing a giant like this, don't let it cause you to want to quit your Sunday school class. Don't let it cause you, you know what, I'm going to take a break from the bus ministry now. I'm going to take a break from doing soul winning. I'm going to take a break. I need to step back. Anytime you have ever seen anybody ever step back, I grew up a pastor's kid. I've seen a lot in my entire life, which is short, only 34 years to some of you, that's short. But I've seen a lot in 34 years. And as a young person, my dad taught me to watch people's decisions, because you can make decisions for your future by watching what they've done for other people. And I watched them all the time, watched adults, watched teenagers, and I got to see decisions. And my dad taught me, be patient and watch how that decision turns out for that person. So that in your life, if you ever faced with a decision like that, you'll know, man, that was a good decision. That worked out really well for them. Or that didn't work out at all. I saw that happen with somebody in my life that decided their marriage wasn't doing very good and he needed to do something nice for his wife, and so he decided to remodel their entire house. So he decided to kind of step back from church a little bit, and he would kind of come to church once or twice a month, but he's like, "I'm working so many hours, Pastor." And I was standing next to my dad. I remember standing here. He came up to my dad for a service. He said, "You know what? My marriage isn't going good right now." He said, I need to do something for my wife. I just need to remodel my house to make her happy so that we have a good marriage again." He said, "I'm going to have to skip some church services because those are the days that I can really work on our house." And I was sitting there listening, and I said, "Well, that doesn't sound like a good decision from what I've learned my whole life." And I remember sitting there as a 13-year-old boy, and my dad heard, he saw that, heard everything. And he said, "Well, let's see how that decision turns out for him. See how it works out." Man, I remember a month and a half into it, the mom came into the school. She grabbed her kids, yanked them out of the Christian school, and she said, "We're done. We're out of here." And they left. And it was, what in the world happened? No idea. I didn't have a clue. As a kid, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And I had no idea what was going on. But they quit church completely, decided not to come back. Their marriage was crazy. They got divorced. Within 3 or 4 years of that, the dad called his boys into the living room and killed himself right in front of all of them. Unbelievable. For me, I decided that day, I'm never going to skip church. I better be sick and not. I'm never just going to skip church in my life. That rung with me as a kid. I said, I don't ever want anything bad to happen in my life. It may not get that bad, but I don't want to come anything close to that. I don't ever want to backtrack upon God. I want God to be fully involved in my life, helping me in my life. Don't ever backtrack. Don't say I need more time to myself, and so I need to give up these things. That's the time to decide to do more for God. Because when you decide to step back, now you're not busy enough to keep going forward. Now you can focus more on yourself. And when you focus more on yourself and you're not busy serving the Lord, you start feeling bad for yourself. And when you start feeling bad for yourself, fear sets in, and you don't want to do more for the Lord, and you give up, you come up with more excuses, and before long, you're out of church. You're never going to get back in ministries. Let's not be the Christian that say, "Well, I used to do this, or I used to go do this." And in Sacramento, we've got a huge population of the Filipino people, and they've all come to the United States. And there's a lot of them that used to go to independent Baptist churches in the Philistines. The churches that I even knew, that I visited when I went on a missions trip there. And when they came to the States, man, they became nurses and got in the medical field. And they got so comfortable with the American environment that they don't go to church hardly ever. And we have these a Filipino ministry in our church. We have a man who his dad pastored in the Philippines, and he came to America and was in a church, but started going the wrong direction. So he came to our church many years ago and got on fire for the Lord. Now he's on staff at our church there in Sacramento and started trying to get a Filipino ministry going. But we have them trickling all the time. And it was amazing hearing their testimonies. Man, I used to be a Sunday school teacher at our church in the Philippines. Man, we used to have a bus route, and I used to be the captain on that bus route. Man, I used to... They grew up in church. They were in church. They were involved in all these ministries. Then they come to America, and it's, I used to. You know the hard thing about that is getting them back to where they used to be. Very few of them will get... They're so caught up in their lifestyle that they have now that they can't give it up. And they're so comfortable now that they can't give it up. Don't get there in your life. Keep your eyes on the focus. Don't be discouraged or distracted or discouraged from this giant that you're facing. Keep your focus on God. Number four, seize divine opportunity. Seize divine opportunity. David saw a giant and said, "Whoo! There's an opportunity right here, God. Are you ready to show up? Because I'm ready to see you. I'm ready to see something happen right now, God. Let's show them all." They didn't get to see the bear and the lion, God. Only I got to see that. Come on, you got to show him this, God. You can imagine the excitement that David had because he knew what God did for him already. And he said, "This is easy. This is nothing." Like, they have no clue. And he saw a divine opportunity right there to conquer this giant and to get the fear out of these people and to instill confidence back into the Israelites. And boy, it happened immediately. And you look at verse number 48, it says, "And it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." Verse 49 says, "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk in his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth." The outcome of the battle depends on whose side God is on. Thank God he's on our side. Amen. He's on your side. He's on my side. We have him available. We have to plug into that source. That is available to us. And David found an opportunity to showcase God's power, and he used it. You're going to have many opportunities all throughout your life to showcase God's power through your life. You hear stories, you hear preachers all the time that talk about great, incredible things that God did for them in their life. That shows God's power. And you're encouraged by that. Can I get an amen? When you hear a story of somebody else's life, a battle, a giant that they faced, and God helped them get through that, it instills confidence into you as a Christian. You become encouraged. You believe even more in God than you did before. You need to be a part of that too. You need to have those testimonies. You need to have those stories to help encourage others. You need to have those for yourself so you can encourage yourself in the Lord. Lastly this morning, cut off the enemy's head. Go to verse 51, best part of the story. Verse number 51 says, "Therefore David, this 13-year-old boy, ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." You can imagine David. I mean, it's a wild scene. But he cuts off the head of this Philistine, and I mean, he raises a... Imagine all the Philistines, "Charge!" You know, like, "Let's go!" Wow, like, this is amazing. Yeah, I mean, the fear within a second left the Israelites. Picture the moment for a minute, okay? Don't just read a story and go past it. Put yourself there as if you're watching it. And picture that moment when David cut off that head and the Philistine was dead. I mean, I can imagine his brothers were kind of just sitting back, sitting watching. All of a sudden, it was like, "Whoa, what just happened? My little... That's my little brother." All of a sudden, they're proud of their little brother. "I taught him that. We practiced that at home." All of a sudden, they're ready to go. And man, it's just, "Let's go." They're running off after the enemy to cut off the enemy's head. And they're ready to get these Philistines. Boy, the confidence was through the roof because of a young man who said, "I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm not going to back down from this giant today. I have the confidence because I know what God did for me in the past." You may not have seen God's power, but we're going to see it today. We're going to see what God can do. And he cut off the enemy's head. God used David to do something powerful. God can use you to do something powerful. He's placed those giants into your life for a reason. We don't always know what they're there for, but God has a purpose. God has a reason for them. Get in tune with God. Get closer to him. Find out why he has that in your life. Get over that giant. Get through that giant. Cut off the giant's head. And get on to the next one. Cut off evil communications. Cut off wrong relationships. Cut off bad habits and vices. Cut off pornography. Cut off drug addiction. Cut off alcoholism. Cut off anger. Cut off dishonesty. Cut off adultery and infidelity. Cut off that enemy's head. Whatever it is that you're facing, you're struggling with, get rid of it today. Do what David did. So much we can learn from a 13-year-old boy. God used him mightily. That was the only time God used him. God used him to do some incredible things. If you read all throughout those passages of Scripture, what God used him to do because of the way that he handled his giant. You want to be used of the Lord? You want to do greater things from him? God's going to give you some giants. God used nobody who didn't face something tough. You're not going to get through this life and be used greatly of God without going through some tough stuff. He will build you to be stronger by giving you some tough stuff to get through. Because when you go through those things, he knows, he created you, he created me. He knows that if you're going to get past a giant successfully, you need his help. And when we reach out for his help and we get past that giant, God has big things in store. He has greater things in store. He wants to use us more. But if we don't depend upon him, we're not plugging into the right source of power, we're not using him, God can't use us. If we're not going to use him, we're useless. We're like that refrigerator that just looks nice and shiny. We come to church, we look great, we put on a show, we have a smile at church, but we're not being used. Are you being used? What's hindering you from being used? Ask yourself that question. I pray that you'll plug into the right source of power to get through and past your giant. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you so much for the power that you shown throughout Scripture, Lord. So many different examples that we've seen, we've read about, we've heard preaching about. And David's just one example, Lord. But what an incredible example that you used with a young little boy who did not have what it took to conquer that giant that day. And the whole world knew it. All the Israelites knew it. The Philistines knew it. And I believe, Lord, that you used him on purpose because it was something that could only be done with your power and with your help. And David knew that. And David used that. He found that divine opportunity and showcased your power in front of the whole entire world. Lord, I pray that as Christians, the things that we're struggling with, Lord, I pray that we depend more upon you, depend upon your power and your help to get through them. And I pray that we wouldn't just try to run from our giants. I pray that we'd run toward them like David did and with confidence that he had. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here struggling with that today, that they would learn to get past it. Use David's life. There's other examples in Scripture that can teach us and help us to get past giants. David's just one of them that we use this morning, Lord. But Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here that's not saved and doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, that is a huge giant to face. That's a scary giant. And if there's someone here who doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, Lord, I pray that they would reach out to one of us today to show them from the Bible how they can be saved. You've given us that free gift of salvation. It's available to every human being on planet Earth. And if there's someone here who's never received that gift of eternal salvation, Lord, I pray that they would get saved today. I pray they wouldn't be scared. I pray that they would reach out to one of us here, myself or one of the deacons or one of the ushers or one of the ladies here, Lord. I pray they'd reach out to somebody to help them know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. We don't ever want anybody ever come into our church and leave without knowing for sure they're going to heaven when they die.